Going to kind of be in line with what we're talking about here tonight, because one of the things that we've received from God is righteousness. Amen. And we said that righteousness is this identity that I have in the kingdom of God. It's not who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God relative to God's kingdom. I've been adopted into the family of God. But as a result of that, as a result of being born again, the Bible tells me that I have been made the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, it says that him that knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. Amen. And if you have your Bibles, go with me over to Romans chapter 5 is where we'll get started tonight. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And if we were to digress for just a moment and review one of the scriptures that we've dealt with coming into this series on the righteousness that comes by faith, is that we kind of parked over in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, where it tells us that Abraham's faith was the kind of faith that was looking for a way to be made right with God. And the eventuality of Abraham's faith was that Abraham decided, what did he do? He decided to simply believe God. And as a result of believing God and what God said in relationship to his promise, God made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham believed that what God said, God meant. Amen. Amen? And as a result of that, God said, I declare you right, or I give you right standing with me. Amen? Now, that's a tremendous thing that we need to think about and that we need to consider as a people of God, is because oftentimes what we want to do is we want to make complex that which God has made simple. Abraham simply became righteous because he chose to believe God. And outside of that, he did nothing else. Amen? God said something to him, and he believed it. And that was it. Amen? What we like to do is we like to think of God being a little bit more complex than that, and that if you're really dealing with God, well, then really God is deep, and he's austere, and he's very complex, and it can't be that simple, Pastor. It just can't be that simple. You got to go back, and you got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you got to keep these commandments, and you got to do those commandments. But the Bible tells us that the promise was given to Abraham before there ever was commandments. Amen. And it was because that he believed in what God had told him. The Bible says that he was made righteous ever before he was circumcised, which was a sign of the covenant. Now, he says that in this way, and you can read all of that in Romans chapter 4, but he says in this way, we who have the same kind of faith as Abraham actually become the children of Abraham relative to the same kind of faith that he used. Amen. And it's not that we become children of God through the law or through the commandments. We become children of God by believing in what God said relative to who Christ is in our lives. Amen. Now, we've also said this in Romans chapter 5, is that you needed Christ in your life. Amen. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned. We've all come short of God's standard in our life, and that there's none righteous, no, not even one. Amen. And so we can never get to a place in our life where we think that we were born near perfect or we were perfect. And really, I'm a good guy. I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. And I go to church, but I've never asked Christ to come into my life. And I think I'll be good enough to go to heaven on my own. I would just simply tell you today, that's not the truth. Amen. You were born into darkness. You are the darkness. You were born into the kingdom of darkness. And the Bible says not until Jesus can take you out of that kingdom and translate you into the kingdom of his dear son are you free from that, and you have to be born again. And one of the reasons and one of the necessary components of being born again simply is because you have to have a nature change on the inside of you. It is literally whenever you think of the term in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, that tells us you must be born again. What he is saying is your spirit has to become new and alive unto God. Amen? And as long as you're born with the spirit of Adam and what Adam did to you, whenever you're born into this world, you will live in darkness, be a part of that darkness that is in the earth. And while you may be a good person, you can still miss heaven. Amen? While you can go do good deeds, you can still miss what God has for you. Can I get a good Pentecostal amen there? Amen. Toto, turn me up just a little bit if you don't mind. That's it? Okay. All right. So I like to be loud sometimes. However, so unless we can appreciate that fact, well, then we'll never allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction in our hearts, because after all, we think we're good enough on our own, but you're not good enough on your own. The Bible says that your righteousness is as filthy rags before God. That there's nothing you can do. You can't pray long enough. You can't fast long enough. You cannot give away enough money in order for you to say, Jesus, step aside and let me go to the Father. No man comes unto the Father but by Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the only way to the Father. Can you say amen? Amen. And so we as a people have to understand what the Bible says about that, because whenever you're born again, what happens is that there's a nature change on the inside of you. You go from being darkness to becoming light. You go from being born into unrighteousness to becoming righteous. Amen? And it's that righteousness that God approves of. It's that righteousness that God puts his stamp of approval on. And whenever it comes time for you to go to heaven, you're going to go to heaven because you were born again. And out of that born again experience, you became right, or was given the identity to step into heaven. Amen. Amen? Now, if you've not been born again, you don't have that identity. I don't care how many goosebumps you get in church. Doesn't matter how many good feel-good times you have in church. Amen? You have to be born again. Except ye all perish, is what he said. Amen? And so the work of the Holy Spirit in our life is to come and to motivate us, stir us, and draw us and lead us into the presence of God. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads a person to repentance. Amen? It says that no man comes unto the Father on his own, but that the Spirit of God draws him, leads him. Amen? So God comes to you in an unrighteous state, dealing with your unrighteous life, shining the mirror of his word into your heart, letting you know that there's something greater for you. There's something more that God has for you, and he's asking you to accept that. And what he's asking you to accept is what the Bible calls the good news or the gospel. And the good news in the gospel is about Jesus Christ, who was sitting on the throne in heaven. There was the divinity of God, where the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 3, where he came into the earth. He robed himself in flesh. He came into the earth. He died on the cross. He was raised again for our justification, praise God. And now the Bible says, if you believe that, confess it with your mouth, then God can take everything that Adam did to you, reverse it, do away with it, and then cause you to become right with him. Amen. Simply through the process of faith. Amen. Amen. All right, Hannah, just stop that over for me for just a minute. Stop the camera for me for just a minute. Do y'all hear that? Yeah. Emma? Hey. Yeah? Man, it sounded so good earlier, Toto. Y'all give me 1 second. Y'all give me. Y'all. The sign of recording is too much. Oh, is it?
Yeah. I need to put the game down.
Hey. Hey. All right, let's do this. Yeah. It didn't sound right, did it? All right. I give you what you want, Toto. I give you what you want. Hang on. I kept hearing something. Hang on. Oh, hey. I haven't done anything yet, Toto. Hang on. Sensitivity. There we go. You need me to go up or down? Down. Test. Oh, ho. Test. Test. That's better? Test. How about that? All right, give me some more gain over there. Hey. Hur. Hey, you got to be old to know that. Is that better? I like that. Woo! He can adjust that. That's a little bit loud right there, Toto. I'm digging that. All right. I kept hearing something a little crazy. Amen. Are we good? All right, give me a little bit. Just give me just a touch total. Just give me a touch up. There, hey, I like that. Aha. I like to hear myself preach. Amen. So, are you ready, Hannah? All right, Good, good. So what we have to understand then, church, is that we have to have this born-again experience that takes place in our life. And if you miss that, then you missed everything that Christ came to do for us. But now let me make this point to you, is that you becoming righteous only happened as a result of you believing, not in you doing. Amen? Now, here's what we're going to talk about on Sunday, because I want to clarify this a little bit with you, is that we became righteous through faith, meaning that I have right standing with God. And I receive that because of the grace of God. Ephesians 2 tells us that you are saved by grace through faith. Amen? So grace shows up in my life. God's unmerited favor causes me in my current condition to be able to call upon the name of God. As a result of that, confessing Jesus as my Lord, as a result of that, I'm born again and I'm made righteous without me doing anything to do that other than believing. Now, I need you to get that. If you get that, say amen. Okay, so now you're righteous. You received it because you believed it. And that was it. Now, I will tell you this, that the Bible tells us that how we received that is the way that we're supposed to keep on living in God. As you therefore, Colossians chapter 2 tells us, as you therefore receive Christ, so continue ye in him. Which he said, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So you live your life. Your life is based upon, in the realm of the Spirit, it is based upon what you're believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. Amen? Now, but because we have grace, and because we're righteous, not because we worked for it or we earned it, because that's what Abraham found out, you couldn't earn it. You could only simply believe God for it, because there's not anything righteous in you that would make you righteous with God outside of what Christ did for you. However, that does not relieve you from right living. Amen? Just as important as you being made the righteousness of God is important, you also need to understand it's important to live right. Amen? Now, years ago, we growing up in the kind of church culture that I grew up in, you know, they made it all about how you were living, as though how you lived would either make you more righteous or less righteous. But that's not what right living does. Right living doesn't make you more righteous, and it doesn't make you less righteous. You're righteous because of what Christ did for you, not what you're doing for yourself. Amen? But because I have Christ living in my heart, then I need to make sure that I'm living like a Christian.
Come on, amen.
Amen? And if I forget that, then what ends up happening is that I will use the grace of God as an occasion to my flesh. And while I can tell you that I'm a Christian, I'm living like a devil. And then we confuse the world who we say that God is holy, but then we're walking around living unholy. Amen? And we need to understand that in this, there's a plow that God has set in our heart and is digging deep to get that stuff out of us that don't need to be in there, praise God, while we need to receive everything he wants us to do. And we ought to get ourselves together.
Amen?
Amen? We ought to be living a holy life. Be holy as he is holy. Amen? For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Amen? But you can't confuse the two. You can't think that if you begin to live more righteously or more holy, that somehow or another that's going to affect your righteousness with God. It doesn't. Because you were righteous before you ever got started on the journey, because the righteousness came whenever you received Christ into your life. Amen? So now just begin to live in agreement with who you already are. Because you're righteous, go ahead and live righteous. Because you're holy, go ahead and live holy, praise God. But don't come back to God and say, look at me, God, look how good I've got it going on. Or worse yet, what people do, they will manipulate people and they will make them think that because they're living more holy and more righteous than they are, then God's doing special stuff for them. That's not the case. Amen? Can I mess with y'all just a little bit? That's why I get worried with people telling me that God just wants to know if he can trust you. He just wants to see if he can trust you. Let me tell you, God has already determined he cannot trust you. So he sent Jesus because he trusted Jesus. Can I get a better amen? Amen. God knows that left in your current state that you will do something wrong. You'll mess up somewhere, that you'll cheat somewhere you shouldn't be cheating. You'll do wrong somewhere you shouldn't be. He already knows that. So he says, Lamb of God, go down there and take care of them for me. I'm going to use your righteousness, not theirs. Amen. That's why he tells us when in 1 John chapter 1, whenever we sin, that he's faithful and just to forgive us. If we confess that sin, he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness, praise God. So what our commitment is to the body of Christ and what my commitment is to myself is I'm going to live out who I am. Amen. How can bitter water come from a sweet well? Amen. That's what James tells us. He says, so just live consistent with who you are. Understand you didn't get it through works, and your works are not going to earn you more of it. Just live out and be righteous, praise God. Live out in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Live out in the freedom of grace, praise God. It's not about keeping rules. It's about loving people. And you can love people, praise God, whenever you're not trying to control people through your rules and your laws and your regulations. Amen. Sometimes church folk, we the worst about it. We just the terrible worst about it. We got it so bad in church that if somebody sits in our chair, we get all sideways and twisted and upside down over a stupid, stinking chair. Right? Take all the chairs out and just make people stand. Well, then they'd get all twisted about somebody standing in their spot. Right? Because we make it about stuff that don't matter. We make it about stuff and we think that we can control people and direct people and things. The Bible says, don't lord yourselves over each other. You're not masters of one another. He says, follow me, be my disciple, deny thyself and take up thy cross and follow me, praise God. It's not about us. It's about a world that's dying, that God needs us to be who he wants us to be so that we can take them the message that they can be free from the unrighteous sin nature that they were born with in Adam, praise God. Amen. And in that life is your life. In that life is your freedom. You get to walk free from condemnation, guilt, and shame before God. Amen. Amen. If God could have picked a place to hate me, he would have done it while I was his enemy. But the Bible says in the place he could have hated me, it's the place where he decided to show me how much he loved me by Christ dying on the cross for me. Praise God. Amen. So no man, no woman is without excuse. They'll never stand before God and say, you were too busy judging me. No, no, no. He'll say, I was too busy trying to love you and bring you righteousness and hope and peace in the world that you lived in. Because really, it's the heart of the Father to be connected to you. It's really the heart of the Father. Don't you even see it in the world's way and in the world's family that even if you have a child that's going crazy, really isn't it in your heart to still be connected to them? No matter what they found themselves in, no matter what they got themselves into, you always want to be connected. God always wants to be connected to the people that he always wanted to be his children. If Adam hadn't messed this stuff up, right, what would God be doing right now? Hanging out with us. Amen? What would he be doing in the world? Hanging out with us, praise God. But we have some issues that we have to deal with. Romans chapter 3 tells us this. This is where I said turn, right? Romans chapter 3 says this. He says in verse number 23, oh, go back up with me to verse number 21. Let's do 21. He says, but God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses, the prophets long ago. Verse 22, I want you to get this with me. He says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Now, here's something I need you to do. I need you to underline this place in your Bible. We are made right. Everybody say this with me. I am made right with God by placing my faith in Jesus Christ. All right. It doesn't tell that there's any other way for us to be made right. I'm made right whenever I put my faith in Christ. You can't add to that. You can't take away from it. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection, there's three things there. Death, burial, and resurrection. All three things happened to him. Amen? Now, does everybody understand? How many church folk do I have in here? You've been in church for a little while. Do you know why all three of those are important? In his dying, he paid the price for your sins. Amen? in his grave experience, there was two things I think that I believe that happened is that number one, the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2 that he descended into hell, and it was there that he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the enemy. So over the course of 3 days, that had to happen. And then as proof, everybody say proof? As proof that he was the Lamb of God, as proof that he is the King of Kings, and that he overcame death, he came back to life.
Amen.
Amen. Now that's how you know you won.
Yeah.
Right? That's how you know that you're victorious, is that the thing nobody else has come back from. Now I get it. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Jesus did raise him, but guess what? Lazarus died again.
Amen.
Amen. But Jesus, whenever he came back to never die again.
Amen.
Amen? Because whenever he came back from the grave, he destroyed the dominion of sin.
Amen.
Amen? He destroyed the authority of sin. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So it tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse number 14, that sin shall no longer have dominion or authority over you. Amen?
Amen?
Now, how can sin not have a dominion and authority over you? The way that sin doesn't have dominion and authority over you is because you no longer live in the kingdom of sin and darkness. You have been taken out of that kingdom and you now live in the kingdom of God's light because you're no longer identified in your nature, who you are at the core of your being, as being a sinner. Now that you've accepted Christ, you are the righteous that's in the earth. Just a poor old sinner saved by grace. No, you were
Amen.
A sinner saved by grace. But now, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you won't sin, but that's still not who you are. You still are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I'll be honest with you, a person who's been born again, the issue with sin in their life is not in their heart. Because the Bible tells us that God's laws have been written in our hearts. Spiritually, we've been encoded in our spiritual DNA to want to have a willingness to want to follow out the will of God and plan for our life. We have a passion for God. But then this thing we have called a soul gets in our way. If our mind has not been renewed to the Word of God, it will still try to live out what Adam was doing and what Adam did to us. You can be born again with an unrenewed mind, still trying to live the old life that you had before Jesus, but yet on the inside have a tremendous passion and desire to do what God wants you to do with your life, but yet you find yourself conflicted because you have a war going on in your mind and a battle going on in your spirit. Can I get a good amen? I can take an offer and we can go home right there. Now listen to me. Paul talks about these things in Romans 6 and 7. Amen? The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. The things that I do want to do, I can't find the power within me to do it. So where's the problem at? He says the problem is not with the commandments, it's not with God, but it's in me. It's the law of my mind that's giving me problems. And that's why he says over in Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Whenever I get into the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, praise God, it divides, it cuts, it tears up and pulls down strongholds in my life that's been handicapping me, causing me to fall short of God's standard in my life. But whenever I deal with those things using the Word of God, allowing the Spirit of God to dwell on the inside of me, giving me power, praise God, I break free from the chains of my past and I get my mind to live where my spirit is at, in the peace, righteousness of the Holy Ghost, praise God. And there's a power that comes in that, praise God. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink, as he says in Romans 17, 14. Amen? It's not meat and drink, but it's living in the power of the Spirit. But you're struggling that as long as you don't have your mind right. You got to get your mind right. That's why church is important.
Yeah, amen.
Amen? That's why getting into the Word of God is important, because it trains your mind. He tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, that the Word of God brings correction, right? It shows us what's wrong in our life. It teaches us not to lie to ourselves. Amen? And we can begin to live in the truth of God's Word. No, look what he says here. in verse number 22, he says, we're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are, no matter where you come from. It's by faith you're made righteous. You didn't do anything to get it. You didn't do anything to earn it. You're righteous because you believed. And I want you to get that with me tonight, because if you can get that, there's a freedom that comes in that. You are righteous. Accept that. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus if you believe in your heart. Ooh, if that's true, then that means God accepts me. And if he accepts me, maybe what I've been doing wrong is in my relationship with God, I've been trying to get God to accept me, not realizing that he's already accepted me. I've been going around inferior, having this inferiority complex and insecure about my life because I really thought I wasn't God's best child. I really thought that God had left me out of some stuff. But yet I'm reading scripture now that the Bible tells me I'm righteous and that I'm whole and I'm complete in him, praise God. And you are. Just receive it, praise God, and walk in it. Next time condemnation wants to rise up in your spirit, just tell it, look, no. Those who are in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation. I'm free from you. I don't have to walk in guilt, shame, inferiority, insecure about my life anymore. If God accepts me, who do I care about anybody else? Amen. My employer may not like me, but guess what? God loves me. My friends may not like me all the time, but God is with me all the time, praise God. Why? Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And how did I get it? Simply by believing in what Christ did. He says this is true for everyone, no matter who you are. White, black, brown, yellow, blue. I say blue because my mama had me blue a couple of times. Amen. Verse number 23, for everyone has sinned and they fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God with undeserved kindness declares that we are righteous. He declares that you are righteous. Let me give this to you another way. You can go to God in prayer and you can tell God how bad you are and how terrible you are and how worthless you are. I don't know about y'all, but I've prayed those prayers. I've gone to God that way. I've gone to God weeping. I've gone to God broken. And I think there's times where you can be broken before God. You ought to be broken before God. Amen. Whenever you sense a piece of rebellion on the inside of you, you just refuse to give up something God is telling you, you need to get broken before God. Amen. But let me tell you what God is saying over you. The Bible tells us right here that he declares that you are righteous. I know you're working on something, son, but keep going because you are my righteousness. I know you're dealing with struggles in your life, son, but keep going because you are right. He's declaring that over you. You're righteous. I've accepted you. I've brought you into the beloved. You're citizen. You're now a citizen of heaven and not this world. Down here, you're just a pilgrim and an ambassador, but you're righteous. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're coming to spend eternity with me. Let's get through this thing. Let's deal with these things in your lives, but you are righteous. He's declaring that you're righteous. He's declaring that you're righteous. Had a tough week, didn't do so good yesterday, had a few issues, said a few words I shouldn't have said, acted a couple different ways that I should have acted. But whenever I come into church on Sunday, guess what? I'm coming to my Father and lifting my hands because I know that I'm still righteous in him. And it's in that place that I'm going to lift my hands to him and say, hey, God, I'm sorry for what I did yesterday. And God says, I know you're still righteous. Come on and worship me. Come on and give me praise. And I think somehow in all of that work of the Holy Spirit in your life, that as you come to God, and though you're guilty of many sins, he's still declaring you righteous, that you come into this place because now you've stopped running from God because you realize you're free from condemnation, and I can start coming to a God who can help me with my bad days, who can help me with my struggles. Amen? He can help you with those. And the reason he can help you with them is because he's given you right standing. He's opened up the gate to you and said, come anytime. All ye that are weary and heavy laden, come. He says, you'll find rest in me. Take my yoke. Carry my burden. They're light and they're easy, praise God. But no, we don't want to do that. We want to come carrying the burdens. We want to come dragging in and saying, God, it's been a battle down here. Well, why? That's something we make up in our minds. I'm not saying that life can't be hard, and life can be hard, and life can be tough. That's why we need to run to a God who is declaring us to be righteous before him. Amen. Look over at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. I've quoted this, and I'm just going to give it to you as a reference point. Romans 8 and verse number 1 says this. He says, so now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. There's no guilt. There's no shame. There's no fear. There's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen. And because you belong to him, the power, everybody say the power, of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Now, all that's past tense. That's already happened, praise God. Not going to happen. It has happened. Because you're in Christ, you're free from condemnation. And because you're in Christ, you have the power. I want you to hear whenever I say, you have the power. There's power living in you right now. You may not have known it. You may not have realized it. But there's power living on the inside of you right now. Why? Because you belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. And because you belong to Christ Jesus and there is no condemnation, now there's a power living on the inside of you that's strong enough to deal with death and sin that's going on in your life, praise God. Somebody say amen. And he says that we're free from the power of sin that leads us to death. I don't believe that you had this over there, Hannah, but Colossians chapter 2, just turn over there, and then I just have one place, and then I'm done. And then Pastor Carlos is going to come receive the offering tonight. And I want to, it's Colossians 2, verses 15 and 16. Colossians 2, verses 15 and 16. And it says this in verse 15. He says, in this way he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. And this is what we were talking about a while ago. And then look at verse number 16. I want to take just the very first part here. He says, so don't let anyone condemn you.
Amen.
Amen. You belong to God. Everybody say that with me. You belong to God.
You belong to God.
Who do you belong to?
God.
So you're God's property. What right does somebody else have to come and condemn something that don't belong to them? You belong to God. I could take you to Romans 8 and show you where it tells us there that if Jesus paid the price for you and you belong to God, who has a right to condemn you?
Amen.
The only one that has a right to condemn you is the one who owns you. And the Bible says, will God condemn us? And Paul says in Romans 8, no,
Amen.
He will not condemn you. Amen. Why? Because he came to justify you. He came to make you right. He didn't come to condemn you. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him would not but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for he sent not his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Praise God. Can you give him a shout in this place tonight? Amen. So listen to me. For church folk, usually I don't deal in dealing with church folk about them coming and saying, Pastor, everybody condemning me. Pastor, everybody on my case. Pastor, everybody just looking down at me. No, let me tell you what I deal with. Pastor, I just don't feel like I'm adequate. Pastor, I feel like I'm my greatest problem to my life. And what it is, it's not others condemning them. It's them condemning themselves. Listen to me. You don't belong to you. You belong to Christ. And he is our hope of glory. Who is being changed into that same image from glory to glory. To glory. This is God in our lives, praise God. Receive and live in the righteousness that God has for you. Now let me tell you, I'll give you one thing. 2 Peter, I'll give you one scripture as to why people live in condemnation. 2 Peter, do you have that one? 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 9. I want you to see this out of your own Bible, out of your own eyes. If you're there, say amen. Now look what it says here in verse number 9. He says, but those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or they're blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their old sins. People who condemn themselves, really, I believe, are people who have just simply forgotten what Jesus did for them. Amen? I believe that people who live in inferiority, low self-esteem, are just people who forget what Christ did for them. I taught a lesson some years ago on Easter Sunday. I may bring it back up this Easter. I think they have revised their numbers. They said that the universe was 695 quadrillion, or it was the Earth, that is worth $695 quadrillion. How they come up with that, who knows, right? There's billions and billions, trillions and trillions of stars. There's a vast expanse of the universe, some 14.3 billion, 14.7 billion light years of space. It's enormous, tremendous wealth in the universe. What if we could go through the universe and collect all the gold? That'd be sweet, wouldn't it? Collect all the silver, collect all the oil, collect all. If we go through the universe, we got a bunch of it here, but what if we go through the whole universe and collect all of this wealth? But do you know the Bible tells us that whenever it came to God buying you and purchasing you, universe wasn't enough. All those trillions of planets, all of those trillions of solar systems, all those trillions of galaxies was not enough to pay the devil for what was owed against you. Amen? And so, they sent the one thing that was. His name is Jesus. And he was able to pay what the universe could not pay. That's why I get so stinking angry. Not angry, but just put out whenever they call God the universe. The universe is going to make it happen for you. No, it's not. His name is God. And we know him through his son, Jesus. He paid the price for you. So listen to me. Don't forget what he did for you. He made you right with God. Now, as God is your partner, go live an exceptional life. Go live an overcoming life. Refuse to settle for less, second best, halfway, little bit here, little bit there. Be the king that he is king of. Be the Lord that he is Lord of. I could keep going, but I have to stop. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for what Jesus has done for us. Settle it rooted in our hearts. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And to you we give praise, glory, and honor for that. I release a power on your people to live in revelation knowledge of what that means. Whew! Revelation knowledge of what it means to live in the freedom of righteousness, to live in the freedom of grace, and become all that you've asked us to be. In Jesus' name, we give you praise for it and give you glory and honor for it. In the name of the Lord. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Pastor Carlos, if you'll come, I think he's going to need a microphone. Is here? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Oh, I didn't unmute it. Praise the Lord.